Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Thursday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, WKOK.com, SteveJonesShow.com, and Sean Carey here. Steve will be in the Sunbury Motors studio in a few. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And our toll-free line, 1-800-795-9565. With you live till 5. Then we'll have the late-day news roundup with Sarah Benick. And then tonight, Phillies baseball on WKOK. On Deck will start at 7. And then 7:35 from Chavez Ravine, the last of the four-game set between the Phillies and the Los Angeles Dodgers. We got a primo five-star matchup tonight, Aaron Nola and Clayton Kershaw. So again, 7:35, first pitch tonight here on WKOK. Then the Phillies will be in San Francisco for the weekend. Early next week, then, in Chicago at Wrigley Field before coming back to Citizens Bank Park next weekend. Tonight, though, we have got Game 1 of the NBA Finals. We start Chapter 4 between Cleveland and Golden State. And it was a couple of years ago here on the show, we were able to get connected. We literally had our very own embed into the NBA Finals, Dieter Kurtenbach. At that time, he was with Fox Sports. Now he is currently with the Mercury, the San Francisco media group. So he is right there in the epicenter of Golden State. So we'll talk to Dieter, get his take on Golden State and Cleveland as that series gets rolling tonight, game number one. And also, we've had a chance to hear from Steve, especially over the last couple of days, in regards to college basketball players that have decided to go pro. Also, you have within that group, like a subfolder within a folder. Within that subfolder, you have a group of players that they're now going to decide to go back to school because they did not hire an agent. And then you have the ones that, yep, I'm going to go forward with this and move to the NBA and stick with my agent. And we'll have some great college basketball conversation with Stephen Bardo, the outstanding college basketball analyst on Big Ten Network. Stephen will be joining us later on in the show. Of course, we never wrap up the week until Kevin Jones joins us, Steve's brother from Connecticut. We will hear from him tomorrow. And already starting to get things lined up for early next week. Looking forward on Monday to speak with Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football, who has been covering the SEC media, the SEC spring meetings, the media sessions that have been going on the last day or two. We will talk to Tony on Monday. Tony wrote a column yesterday in regards to the graduation rules in the SEC conference, and Steve elaborated on that as well. So it'll be great to have that convo between Steve and Tony coming up next week on Monday.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You're talking about one of the great writers ever, Tony Barnhart.
I got to thinking last night, you know, when you were talking about the graduation rule in the SEC, and I stumbled upon a column that Tony wrote. So I figured, okay, we reached out to Tony, so we'll have him on next week. So worked out really well.
He's one of the best writers ever, especially when it comes to college football. He's terrific. So we're looking forward to that. Stephen Bardo today.
Mm-hmm.
Dieter Kurtenbach coming up today.
Yeah, Dieter, one of the great up-and-coming writers. I was just telling everyone a little bit ago. We literally had our own NBA Finals embed 2 years ago when we first heard when Dieter made his debut on the show. And great mind, great thoughts. Lets it all out. He doesn't hold back.
Nope. No. It'll be great to have him on again.
He's Twitter gold. He's great on Twitter as well.
Yeah, he's great on Twitter. Does a great job all the way through. And looking forward to having him back on today. Along with Stephen Bardo, we're going to talk about the guys leaving the Big Ten, those staying in the Big Ten, who had gone through the draft process. And I want to talk to him about the Rice Commission. And get his thoughts on that. I mean, you know, you're talking about a guy who was a high-level player at Illinois. I mean, he had a great college career. And I also think he has the ability to articulate thoughts and do it in a concise, easy-to-understand way. In other words, you don't ask him a question and then 10 minutes later, you have the answer. For example, like, what are the keys for Shikellamy tonight? Okay, really? You can do it in 35 seconds, can't you? What? Act like there's some hidden message in there.
Saw what you did there.
Yeah. Hidden.
And it's not June yet.
I know. Tomorrow. That's tomorrow.
That's right.
That's tomorrow. The is the suit in the building?
He is in the building.
Right. So there's a lot of excitement around his car right now?
Well, no, I was talking to one of our other colleagues over in the sales department, he was saying, I was saying to him, are you gone for the day? Like, do you have sales calls the rest of the day? And he's like, no. And I go, why is that? And he goes, I have to come back for a webinar. And I go, okay.
Okay.
And did the suit line up the webinar? He said, yes. Before our show started, I walked down the hall and suit was in his office and I said, hey, let's have a knockout webinar today because we're counting on you. And he goes, I'm fine. I'm good. And he's like, oh, okay. So in other words, you're above the rest of the sales staff here? And he's like, yeah, pretty much.
Like, not in terms of numbers. Nor, I don't know about you, but that's how I judge it.
Go to the bottom line, man. That's right.
That's not my judgment. My judgment is, oh, that's a good number. That'll keep us going. All right. I was going to say, I mean, if his car's parked in the lot, based on his on how he looks at auto racing, this is actually the most exciting time for the car. It's not moving.
It's funny. It's funny. On Fridays, his car faces out, not in.
That's okay. That's
you're not,
because other people,
you're not surprised.
That's because other people got a hold of the keys and they put it that way. help us help you. tough one for the Phillies last night as they were beaten. So they'll play. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be an early evening game there. It's 7:35 here with a 7 o'clock start in WKOK, but it's 4:35 out there. So let's see if twilight plays a role in the kind of pitching performances we see tonight, because that includes Clayton Kershaw tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you got two outstanding pitchers, but yeah, you're right. Dealing with the shadows that could be stretched out onto the field, especially in early innings. Yeah, run totals could be down in this game.
And we'll see. I mean, two great pitchers, but conditions that are usually conducive to pitching performances. Twilight. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But that is, we're proud to have that matchup for you coming up tonight. That should be a good one. I watched some of last night's game. Yeah, I just couldn't get anything going. That happens. Pirates turned their entire season around. No, not really. But they did beat the Cubs last night. They go to St. Louis for four. See, the difference, there's a big difference between the National League and the American League right now. And the American League is very closely, I'm sorry, the National League is very closely bunched. Very closely bunched. And when you look at it, you know, there's no real great team. The American League has three potentially great teams. Houston, the Yankees, and the Red Sox are all three potentially great teams. And they had to play each other. I mean, the Yankees and Red Sox had to play 19 times this year, for goodness sakes. And so that's what, when you look at when you look at the two, there is the competitive balance in the National League is a little bit different than the competitive balance in the American League. I mean, I kind of feel like everything is wide open in the American in the National League. In the American League, you got three dominant teams. I mean, dominant. I mean, really good teams. And that does make a difference. I mean, that makes a big difference in what we're watching right now. Huge difference, as a matter of fact. I mean, these teams are... The Yankees and the Astros just came off a series where it looked like the playoffs. I mean, at the same, the playoff feel, playoff intensity, Yankee Stadium was alive. I mean, that was impressive. That was very impressive. So it's and that's the big difference between two leagues. And look, you have to beat who's in front of you. It's, I mean, no getting around it. But look at the Astros this week. They go to New York. They play the Yankees for three. Now they're back home for four with the Red Sox. And yeah, it's a titanic week. Those are nationally televised, if you really love baseball, must-see games. By the way, Kevin Love is cleared from concussion protocol for Game 1 tonight. Now, whether he starts or plays, I don't know, but he has been cleared. Andre Iguodala is out tonight, will not play. 2-0 win for the Nationals over the Orioles last night. Max Scherzer, 150th career win. He had 12 strikeouts over 8. And, of course, last night the Capitals even the series, beating Vegas 3-2. Lars Eller, a goal, 2 assists. Alex Ovechkin had a goal last night. And now Game 3 coming up in D.C. A little different open in D.C. than what you saw in Vegas. In Vegas, they bring down the Capitol with the sword. Golden Knight is there with his sword. And they duel it out at center ice. In Washington, it's Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer they're going to use, I guess, in the pregame. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. We'll be right back. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Stephen Bardo, BTN. Next half hour, Dieter Kurtenbach in the 4:06 half hour. Stephen Bardo on the some of the players that have elected to return to the Big Ten. Yesterday was Declaration Day. And also we'll get into the Rice Commission and his thoughts as someone who has lived this himself. And now does a great job of articulating his thoughts on BTN. And then Dieter Kurtenbach will join us from the Bay Area to talk about the NBA Finals between Golden State and Cleveland. I'm just asking where you've heard this before. Have you been? So, great to have you with us on board here today. And we'll get more into what's going on across the board. The Memorial, by the way, got underway today, Jack Nicklaus's tournament. And the Tigers lead the Angels, by the way, 6-1 bottom of the sixth inning. Meanwhile, at the Memorial today, 7-under par is the lead. Ansar and Neiman, both at 7-under. They're done. They shot 65. Tiger was 3-over at one point. He finished at even 72 today. I mean, the other guys are doing pretty well. Jason Day's at 4-under par. Mickelson's at 4-under par. Let's see. Gary Woodland's at 3-under. Not a bad player. Brandon Grace, good international player from South Africa, 3-under. Oosthuizen's 2-under par. Mr. Webnar is at 8-under par. Oh, wait a minute. That's actually coming up tonight. Sorry.
Okay.
We're having... Oh, this will affect the suit. I mean, I'm surprised he's not mentally in the tank over this. Usain Bolt stripped of his 9th Olympic gold medal.
Ooh, breaking news.
A court of arbitration for sport judging panel on Thursday dismissed Jamaican sprinter Nestor Carter's appeal against disqualification for the 2008 Beijing Olympics because he tested positive for a positive doping test discovered 8 years later. They just got around to it. They opened up the can. They go, hey, wait a minute, hold on. Carter ran the opening leg, which everyone knows set the total tone. I mean, the bolt would have no chance without the opening leg by Carter. In the 4x100, bolt ran third. It wasn't even the anchor leg, for goodness sakes. In fresh analysis of Beijing samples by the International Olympic Committee in 2016, Carter tested positive for a stimulant. Jamaica was disqualified, stripped of the relay title. The CAS panel said it could not accept any of the arguments raised by Nestor Carter, contending that the test results should be ignored or the IOC decision should otherwise be overturned for alleged failures. The verdict was expected, and it spoils Bolt's perfect Olympic career of 3 gold medals in the 100, 200, and 4x103 consecutive games. So Bolt now is forever labeled a loser. No?
Well, he just spun it into a positive a little while ago. He says, the rules are the rules, but at the end of the day, the joy of winning the relay gold... The joy of winning the relay gold medal in Beijing 2008 with my teammates will last forever.
Carter's now 32. He was also on Bolt's team for 3 straight world championship relay golds in 11, 13, and 15. They were teammates when Jamaica set another 4x100 world record in 2012 in London. Dozens of athletes tested positive for banned drugs in an IOC-ordered reanalysis program using new and more accurate tests on samples stored since the 2008 Beijing Olympics and 2012 London Olympics. Carter's case was the only one involving Jamaica. In other words, the rest of the Jamaicans follow the rules. No, just kidding. I don't know. Let's all retest. Oh, just move on.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Talk with Stephen Bardo, BTN, in just a few moments. He's actually going to join us while riding the train. You know what's great about a train as opposed to key moments in an Indianapolis 500 race?
Train doesn't stop.
Train's moving. It's the game within the game.
Chess match.
Yeah.
On the track.
Yeah.
Well, off the track.
Here's one. Okay. Checkmate. The train is moving. Just so you know. Right. That's why people stop to watch a train. They're like, hey, why it's moving? Right. Why do you think people go to the concession stand during pit stops? Car's not moving. All right. 1879, New York's first Madison Square Garden was open. 1921, Suffy McGinnis began an aerial streak of 1,700 straight chances. 1927, Johnny Noone of the Detroit Tigers made an unassisted triple play. 1937, the Brooklyn Dodgers ended Carl Hubbell's 24-game winning streak as a pitcher for the New York Giants. Hubbell was a great pitcher. Obviously, never saw him pitch. Just reputation and numbers. All right. Let's get to it here with Stephen Bardo on that train, which we believe is hopefully not a train to nowhere. Stephen, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Thanks a lot for having me.
Let's talk about the players that made their decision yesterday or in the past couple of days as to what to do. Kevin Herter is the one that's going to leave Maryland, but Bruno Fernando is staying. Give me your thought on Herter leaving and the impact on Maryland, but Fernando staying.
Well, I always thought Kevin Herter was an NBA caliber player.
Yep.
For him at the right time. He did a really good job at Portsmouth, the NBA Combine in Chicago. And, you know, he's an attractive prospect with his height at 6'7", his ability to stretch the defense with his three-point shooting. He's got point guard skills. He played point guard in high school, and you could tell he's very comfortable handling and setting up for his teammates. And I think defensively he's a little bit underrated. So it seemed like it was a perfect storm for him. Everything came together. Bruno Fernando, before the combine, many thought that he was going to be able to get drafted possibly late in the first round, early second round. But obviously he got some more information that suggested it was better for him to get a little bit more season at Maryland. And I think for Big Ten fans and for Maryland fans in particular, that's a good move because I think I want to see more of Bruno Fernando in the college ranks before he leaves.
In fact, I'm with you. I think he'll improve his stock by staying an extra year, solidify himself maybe as a late first-round pick by staying an extra year. At Purdue, they already lost the four seniors. Nojel Eastern went through the process, so he's going back. We knew that was going to happen. But Carson Edwards is going to come back. What does that do for Matt Painter, especially considering the losses?
Well, you just hit it on the head. You know, you typically don't want to have three to four guys that you've counted on for years leave your program because that's a huge leadership void. But with Carson coming back, I mean, he was as hot as any player outside of maybe Tony Card in Big Ten Conference coming down the stretch. So I think that he'll only get better. It will stabilize Purdue somewhat. They may not drop quite as far with he and Eastern coming back into the fold. And, you know, Matt Painter does an excellent job. And if they can get some quality play from Matt Harms up front, they may not drop off considerably like many thought they would after the exodus of the senior class.
I mean, there are other guys like Ethan Happ at Wisconsin, Isaiah Moss, Tyler Cook at Iowa, Nick Ward at Michigan State. I think all of us expected them to come back. The one guy I wasn't sure about was Charles Matthews at Michigan. He decided to come back. What were your thoughts on that?
You know, I think Charles is he makes you lick your lips a little bit with his athleticism and the way he played in the NCAA tournament. But the one thing that really Charles suffers, or not suffers from, but he hasn't developed quite as well, is his ability to put it on the deck.
Yeah,
he can straight line drive you to death going right. But if you make him go, if you take that first straight line drive away, he really struggles getting to where he wants to on the floor. And he's got a good size of 6'5", 6'6", but you've got to be able to handle the basketball a little bit better at that next level. You know, he can space it. He can rebound it. He can defend. He's a really good athlete. But he's got to tighten up that ball handling in order for him to have a consistent career at the NBA level.
Now, Tony Carr was not in that position to say yes or no yesterday, because he made the commitment coming out to get an agent right away, so he was in. He went through the combine. He's worked out for at least six teams so far. What are your thoughts on Tony Carr's next-level potential?
Well, I've always thought Tony Carr was a pro. I mean, he's got a unique pace about his game that belied his age. I mean, it seemed like he had been in situations before. So I think he's got the size. I think he's got the acumen. He scores the basketball. I think his shot, which some may have criticized in college, I think he'll have the ability to get that off fairly quickly, because it is such an unorthodox release. It's, you know, it's almost like a set shot. He's at 6'5", 6'6", already. I think if he goes to the right franchise, it can give him a little bit of time to a NBA level. I think he could have a 10, 12-year career in the league.
What about transfers? There's so many transfers. It's, what, 700 to 800. And this is a pattern, Stephen, that you and I have seen now in recent years in college basketball. How have you always viewed the number of transfers in this game?
You know, Steve, I've always thought it was too many, just because I'm a purist, and you and I come from an era where guys tend to stick things out a little bit more than they do now.
Yeah.
I don't put that blame all on the players. I think that we as adults have a lot to do with that as well. And I think it's unfortunate because it just changes the game of college basketball so quickly, and it's tough to get a relationship with players now at the college level, because if they're there 1 to 2 years, you know, if you don't really follow them and really dig into them deeply, they can be gone before you really get to know who they are. And so I think that's a downside of the business. But I also think that they're trying to give the players somewhat of access and a little bit of freedom of movement to different programs, just because of the nature of, you know, the players not having a lot of flexibility in terms of movement or in terms of, you know, who their coach is going to be. And so coaches have the ability to move freely, and I think this is a way to try to even the playing field somewhat for the players.
How did you feel about what the Rice Commission did and the recommendations they made? Because you and I both know the NCAA will probably go the direction they said. What did you think when you saw what the Rice Commission put out?
You know, I was skeptical, Steve, because the thing of it is that NCAA is a mess, and I think that we all understand that it's a mess. I think it's structured a way that's antiquated to deal with today's issues that the sport presents. I think the Knight Commission was something that they threw together quickly to try to save face.
Yeah.
I think the recommendations were kind of obvious. I don't think that there'll be much that comes of it. I just think, again, the NCAA and the whole structure is antiquated and needs to be blown up and done again to reflect today's state of the college basketball game. And I think that there needs to be a lot more trust that needs to be exhibited on all sides for the game to get back to the way that it can be. And so I think the Knight Commission and all that, I think that was window dressing. And I'd like to see some serious initiatives put in place by the NCAA themselves, because they know what they need to do in order to right the ship.
Stephen, what are a couple of things that run through your mind to say, okay, it would make the overall structure better if they at least put on the table a consideration of this?
Well, they have to get serious about it if they are going to be the governing body over particularly college basketball. They need, one, a college basketball commissioner. There needs to be a head that speaks directly for college basketball. Someone that's had experience, preferably as a player, possibly on the coaching staff, at administration, at a university level, and hopefully some outside business experience, because this is a huge business that the players need to take bigger part in my opinion. Second, I think that it would behoove the NCAA to hire people who have investigative backgrounds, who can do economic background checks, that can do personal background checks, because the NCAA itself, enforcement is not nearly strategic enough, nor can they move quickly enough to affect lasting change that will have, you know, that will make programs think twice about cheating and trying to do things underhanded. I think those two things would really go a long way in making the NCAA a viable enforcement entity.
You know the life of a student athlete because you went through it and you lived it at a very high level. You're an outstanding college player. You see today's modern players, Stephen, and how the modern structure is. Are they doing enough for the modern player under the current conditions, or is there something they need to consider where they give them more?
You know, I'm a player's advocate, Steve, and I've always believed that the players are getting the short end of the stick. I mean, if you want to teach economics, why not allow those players to part in the revenue that they generate? I mean, that's basic economics in my mind. Everywhere else in the United States society, capitalism is embraced except for when football or basketball players are asked to step to the table and take part in what they create. It's really a sham, in my opinion. I benefit from it, from the system that really takes advantage of the players. I used to use the word student-athlete. I don't use that term anymore because I know that NCAA has created that to protect themselves from litigious situations. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that if you're not going to allow the players to take part in the revenue in a percentage basis, then you need to allow the players to benefit from their likeness and name, and also that they can develop a social media platform and a following, and they can monetize that. They need to be allowed to do that as well if they're not going to benefit from a percentage basis in the revenue that they help to generate.
We'll shift gears to one final question. Now that we've seen who's coming and who's going, any initial thoughts on what the makeup of the conference can be? And well, in fact, let's go to the 20 game. I'll just scrap that and go to the 20 game thing. What do you think about the fact that Big Ten's going to 20 games? Is that good for the conference? Does it help with the NCAA, or does it depend on the combination of teams you get?
No, I think it helps the Big Ten Conference, and I think it will really benefit programs like Penn State and Nebraska because, you know, they were just on the outside looking in this year, and both of them were NCAA quality caliber teams. And so I think when you take away two possible games against maybe quote-unquote mid to low major programs that may not have a positive effect on your resume, I think it's only going to help the league. It's going to help the league from a television standpoint. It's going to help the league from a perception standpoint around the country. And so I think it was inevitable, and I hope that it does exactly what it's designed to do, and that's to benefit some of those programs in the Big Ten that, you know, have been knocking on the door that want to be consistent NCAA tournament appearances, but they haven't been able to do so, and hopefully two more conference games can help some of those programs do just that.
Stephen, absolute pleasure. You know how much I always enjoy the conversation with you, whether it's in person or on the phone. Thanks so much, and all the best to you.
Thanks a lot, Steve, for having me. I really appreciate it.
And he's Stephen Bardo, BTN. I thought that was a rather frank and direct conversation. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Great to have you with us. Next half hour, Dieter Kurtenbach, Mercury News in San Jose, on the Warriors and Cavaliers starting up tonight. Dieter, of course, joined us when he was at the with Fox Sports and did that. So
And he'll come back and rejoin us. Look, it's a busy day for him. The fact that he carved out time for us today, that says a lot.
Never turned us down. He's awesome.
No, he never has turned us down. Well, for a couple of years, he turned us down.
You mean before I got here? Oh,
yeah. Well, you can't include in the email, we'd love to have you come on the show and talk about the Indianapolis 500. And it's like, yeah, you're not going to get a response from the guy who covers basketball.
Well, Dieter may have a take on it, but...
I mean, it's just, you know...
Fill up 12 minutes, but...
I mean, every guest we've had, we'd love to have you come on and talk about IndyCar racing. I'm like, it just really slowed the process down, I thought.
Well, you made that perfectly clear to me back on day one when I got here, so...
Yeah. Just so you know, we are an indie free zone. That's not funny.
Reminds me of one of my college classmates. He was my first program director at the campus radio station at Lock Haven University, and the old 90.3 WLHC nonstop thunderous rock and roll. But we chose one day to be Bruce free. Now this was back in 84 and 85 when you could not
Hard
get
a,
you could not get away from Springsteen with Born in the USA out. So. But yeah, we literally played promos and dedicated one day being Bruce free, even though we were a rock and roll station.
Yeah, yeah.
Campus radio. So.
I understand. No, it's I would say back in those days for about 20 minutes it was the right move.
Yeah.
And then after that, couple problems. But you can't ask every guest if they come on and want to comment on the Indy 500. I just think it slows down the flow of guests.
No pun intended.
Yeah. It just. Well, no, that's where the race is won, where everything slows down.
Oh, okay. To the pits?
Yeah. Yeah. We're changing tires. Oh, everybody, get to the TV. The race is on. Oh, goodness gracious.
So we're giving away NASCAR tickets over on 94KX. And
yeah, they got the race at Pocono this weekend.
Yep, Pocono 400 tickets. And Eagle 107 is giving them away, too. And I had one of my contest winners called up. All right. And I just asked her on the fly, who's your favorite driver? And she's like, Jeff Gordon. And it's like, well, but the way she phrased it, you could have sworn Jeff Gordon was dead. It's like, no, it's like, no, well, no, wait, he's still there. He's just up in the booth. But
yeah, all right.
I haven't found someone now that he's gone. It's like, well, he's not gone. He's
yeah, but that is the state of racing right now. That is the state of it. Okay, I mean, people put out number flags, right? You see it out on porches and so forth. I don't know if they're still out there a lot, but I know I used to see them a lot on porches, and. And they're always three, right? Lots of threes. Now you get some 24s, whatever. These are guys that, of course, Dale Sr., of course, passed away. And Jeff Gordon doesn't race any longer. Dale Jr. doesn't race any longer. The problem is all the popular drivers are gone. I mean, they're gone. And that's...
Yeah, Gordon made a pretty great transition up to the broadcast booth. So
he's good.
Yeah, he's very good. It'll be interesting to see how Dale does, since he'll be joining the NBC racing crew.
I think he'll be fine.
I think so.
I mean, I met Gordon and did an event with Gordon here at Penn State a couple of years ago. Could not have handled himself any better. I thought, he'll be fine when he goes to the booth.
That's right. They had that special 24 car on display at one of the blue-white games a couple years ago.
Yeah, they brought him in, and he drove it toward Beaver Stadium and back at a speed with which I've never seen before. The only time I saw speeds faster than that on campus by anybody was on the last day of finals.
I thought you were going to break out a Jeff Tarman story when you were riding shotgun with him going to another event, heading to another broadcast.
Well, he always wants to drive when we go. I'm driving. I'm like, okay, great, that's fine.
Great to have you with us, Dieter Kurtenbach, on the NBA Finals next half hour. You know what's really great about the NBA Finals? It's like the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, the action seems to be happening when the players are moving.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.